Genesis chapter 1, if you're there, if you're willing and able to stand with me in honor of God's word. Beginning again, or a new beginning with God, is sort of the mindset that we've been focusing on. And something I've repeated is the only way to move forward is by moving forward with God. If you want to move forward in life, you've got to do so with God. And that begins with, well, it begins with knowing your Creator, Genesis 1. You won't move forward without knowing your Creator. But I really want to focus on the last day of creation this morning. And so let's read verse 26. The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. He created he him. Read these three words out loud with me. Ready, begin. Male and female created he them. I hope we understand that here this morning, but we'll be talking about that. And God blessed them, the male and the female. God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Back to the basics, the title of the message this morning is prayer. God in heaven, Lord, we need you. And I ask that you'd help me and just give me the words to say. This is a hot topic in our society. It's a hot topic in politics. This is not a political topic, though. This is a biblical thing. This really has nothing to do with politics. And as your people vote, we ought to vote what's most biblical. May we recognize what is most biblical. And Lord, may we live that way. And Lord, may we exalt what is biblical as Christians and not be ashamed of it. And Lord, help those who might be struggling with it so that, one, they can be saved, and two, they can live for you. Lord, we just need you this morning. Maybe somebody has other needs here this morning that it may not seem that I'll address as it appears at the beginning here, but you know needs, and so I pray you'd meet needs. Lord, some are hurting, some are struggling with other things, and you're a God who knows all things. We've talked about in Sunday school hour. You're omnipresent. You're there. You're always there. So, Lord, I pray you'd work in our lives and that we'd respond how you'd have us do in Jesus' name. And I thank you so much. You can be seated. It's mostly home folk here this morning. But home folk or not, I want to say this to start off with. If you're not saved this morning, you need to know that you were designed especially by God. God felt it was important to state that when he created mankind in verse 26 and verse 27, he created mankind as male and female, right? And so it'll help me if you'll help me. If you agree, I know some of these sayings are pretty obvious, maybe. Just help me by saying amen or you agree, and so I can move on. Because if I feel like you're not with it, then I feel like you don't get it. And if I feel like you don't get it, I'm going to have to repeat it. And then we'll be here a while. So help me out with that. You're good at that as a church. But this, I'm going to be honest, is not one of the it's not one of the easiest topics to relay. It's one of the easiest topics to agree with. It's one of the easiest topics to for me to take a stand on. There's no question about it. But it's not one of the easiest to relay and articulate in conversation, things like that. And but I know that what I said earlier, that God created mankind as male and female, that may seem like a no-brainer to most, if not all, of us in here, but maybe not. And because if you go out of these walls that surround us right now and you begin a conversation with much of society, you'll find that male and female terminology is actually pushing towards offensive. And You'll hear people say things like this: don't assume my gender. It offends me. You know, in some places, you're required to check male and female. Well, there's another option. They're calling it androgynous or genderqueer or many other things. And there's an option even on in some states on driver's license and other official documents where a person can select X or rather not say or neither. And there's a list right now. I think the number is up to 212 types of genders that there are in society today. 212 types of genders. You might ask this question this morning, Pastor, why are you setting aside a message and even backtracking, going back in this series to go here? Well, perhaps you were like me growing up wondering why preachers focus attention on... I wondered, why are they harping on this? Our society, you know, I know that it's there and it exists when I was a kid, things like that, but it wasn't, I mean, for the most part, society as a whole kind of agreed that there's two genders, male and female, whatever. And so maybe you grew up like me hearing the preaching and you wondered why the preacher focused on that or on verses like what we just read where it says male and female. Perhaps you felt it unnecessary, a waste of time, or maybe it seemed like it was a preacher's hobby horse, you know, just wanted to harp on that for a while. But may interject and say that perhaps, like what we're doing today, he was just preaching through the Bible. That's kind of what we're doing with Genesis. And maybe he was just simply going through the book of Genesis like we are, and he was determined to preach the whole counsel of God, and that's what we're doing. And we can't just simply skip over a verse like this, especially when it's such a hot topic in society today. And as I look at society today, I feel like there hasn't been enough preaching on the basics of humanity as God intended it. Isn't it amazing as you're going through the Bible? As you read through the Bible, the hot topics of today become prominent. In the written word, I know the time frame here might have been 6,000 plus years ago, right? When the days of Adam and Eve and whatnot. But as a written word, maybe it was more like 3,500 years ago when Moses, you know, delivered these sayings to the Israelites and for these first readers. It was something important for them today, but it remains important today. Let me rephrase that. It was something important for them in that day, but it remains important today. It remains powerful today. It remains effective today. It is still the source of lives changed and souls saved today. The Word of God is still very powerful, isn't it? If you've been convicted by the Word of God at some point in your life, say amen. But it's outdated. It's so outdated. It's from so long ago, but yet it still affects lives today. It still addresses the needs of our society today. It still has very much to do with who we are and where we live today. And as long as there is sin, there will be conviction of the holy word of God. And that's why the Bible is the favorite target of Satan. And it is his onslaught today. And that is why the Bible is hated by society today. It's called offensive. It's called anti-culture. That is why Christianity is made fun of at the Olympics and not any other religion. Now, my opinion on the painting that was mocked and made fun of, that painting itself is kind of effeminate of our Jesus, our Lord and Savior itself, but still, at the same time, the target was Christianity. If you don't know what I'm talking about, very carefully do a Google search and then quickly get away from it. That's why here in the first chapters of the book of Genesis, we not only learn who God is. We in Genesis 1, we learn that he's the creator God. We learn that also, we've already talked about this a little bit, that he created with a purpose and a plan. But we also find that he laid down what there is to know regarding his plan for your family. Very personal to you. Isn't that right? And so that's number one. I'm going to give you some points this morning. Number one is that God always has a plan. God always has a plan. In Genesis 1, we learn some basic truths for sanctity of life. A phrase that is used is in the image of God. And we learn some basic truths, I think, maybe I should say vital truths for gender identity. In verse 27, God makes it very clear that God created mankind as, what are the words, male and what? Female. Notice that they were created before their feelings were considered as to what identity role they wanted to have. I laugh, but it's sad. This is much needed today. As a youth pastor, we had teenagers who struggled to identify themselves as either heterosexual or homosexual. As a pastor here, we have had teenagers, people, adults as well, but, that are struggling with that. I pick up teenagers on the bus, you know, on post, and they have openly said things opposite than what you want to hear. There are teenagers in public schools and schools your children and your grandchildren go to that struggle with the gender-confused society. But number one, our point is this, God has a plan, right? God has a plan. He has a design. And I want you to notice an outline here in verses 26 to 28. It's pretty simple, but it needs to be acknowledged. In verse 26, God said, okay? In verse 27, God created. And in verse 28, God blessed. So God said, let us make man in our image in verse 26. And so God created man in his own image in verse 27. And God blessed them in verse 28. And then in verse 31, we see the words God saw. He saw or looked at what he blessed and what he created. He said these words, it was very good. He created what he said. He blessed what he created. He saw what he blessed and he said, it was very good. God always has a plan, which leads us to number two. And it's in our outline that we just looked at. God said, God created, God blessed. God always blesses his plan. God always blesses his plan when it's followed. God blessed what he designed. So if his design is not followed, listen to me this morning, there is no blessing. Just look around you in society. His design is not being followed by much of America today, is it? No wonder the blessings seem to be unnoticed. Now, I didn't say he's not blessing. Listen, this morning, in this dark world, if you're following God, he's blessing you. Amen? If you have determined to follow his design, he's blessing you. He sees it, what you're doing, how you're living, and he says it is very good. He loves that if you're following God, if your family's following God. But I'm just saying this morning, don't look to the media for blessings. Don't look to the media for God's blessings. Don't look to society for God's blessings. You got to look to the Word of God, amen? And the promises of God and your obedience to His Word. And I promise, no, God promises you'll find His blessings when you follow His plan. It's very good to Him. Just a reminder, I mentioned it earlier, when the Israelites first read these words in Genesis chapter 1, we look at this, and this is the beginning in our mind, this is the beginning in our eyes. But really, when these words were read, it was years and years later when the Israelites probably received it from Moses. They were coming out of captivity in Egypt. They had left ungodly Egyptian influences regarding idolatry, polytheism, worshiping false gods and goddesses. That's what polytheism is. They had just left Egypt where there was wickedness and sin. They were headed towards Canaan now, which would hold much of the same influences. And they were now learning about the true God, God Elohim, the I Am, Jehovah God. They knew a little bit about Abraham, about Isaac, and about Jacob, but they were soon to discover a lot more about them just from hearing the words of Genesis. And they have just learned about creation. And they're now learning about the first man and woman. And I imagine that as some of them read the words, it was very good, they had to ask themselves, what was very good? Exactly. God says, it is good. What is good? And it, included in that answer would have been, well, we're only in chapter 1, so included in that answer would have been, well, creation was good. And God is good. And the 6 days of creation, not evolution, right? God the Creator, not the gods of creation. Along with, and that would have been their influence too, gods of creation. Along with all of that, they would find that God's design of two genders, male and female, was very good. They needed to know it. God created them. It's just the Bible. It's right here. What does God think about this gender issue? God created male and female, and he said it, his creation of male and female, was very good. If something else would have been good in God's eyes, he probably would have listed it. But he didn't. And it's still good today. Believe it or not, Egyptians thought you could do what you wanted with gender. I mean, we already know they had no problem with killing children, right? Sound familiar? Story of Moses as a baby. They had no problem killing children. Our society today has no problem killing children. Babies, wombs, they're children, right? But historically, the Egyptians of that day practiced family planning in their own families. They were known to throw away the child if the child didn't meet their gender desires. This was their influence. This was the influence the Israelites had as they're leaving Egypt. And I don't know that the Israelites practiced this, hopefully not, but God felt it was important that they understood the sanctity of life created in his image and that they understood the importance of male and female. And I believe my God does not make any mistakes. Do you believe that? And he wasn't just looking for something to say. He wasn't just filling space. He knew they needed to know his intentions, his creation, and what would be his blessings. And today, in other countries, children are being killed based on gender desires. Sexual selection is actually a thing in America. It might not be to that degree, but we are accustomed to getting what we want. We're so accustomed to getting what we want that even in vitro fertilization, you can select the gender. Our society needs to know, just like the society of Israel, our society needs to know what the first nation of the Israelites need to know. God has a plan. God blesses his plan. It's a perfect design. It's a beautiful design. And our children are not being taught this in their school system. No, they're not. They're not being taught this in school. By the media or social networking. I remember, not every school, not every public school is like this. Got to remember, I grew up on the West Coast. It's the left coast, right? And just with that mentality, and I grew up just having evolution. This was back in 1988, 89, 90. Evolution crammed down my throat like it's fat. No, I wasn't being taught this in public school. Thank God for a mom who kept me in church where I could learn the truth. These Israelites were exposed to a twisted thinking about life. We have been exposed to a twisted thinking about life. Let me help you with something, not just in regard to the topic we're talking about today, but in everything in life. When you get confused in life, just come back to the Bible. God always has a plan. God always blesses his plan. Number three, nothing catches God by surprise. Talked about that this morning in the Sunday school hour. You know, when we look at these words in the book of Genesis, you kind of have to come to a conclusion that it's almost like God knew back then we would face this challenge in society about gender roles and about gender confusion today. I'm glad the Bible makes things clear. Look at Genesis 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and called their name Adam the day when they were created. If God says it once, it's enough, right? But if he reiterates it here, he just wants to be clear, and he is. Matthew 19, verse 3, the Pharisees, you can turn there if you want or jot it down. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. It's almost as if God knew back then we would face these issues in society today. It's not a confusing thing. But it's been made to be confusing. A woman identifying as a man in a woman's body. I'm not even sure if I said that right. Nothing catches God by surprise. God always has a plan. He blesses his plan. Nothing catches God by surprise. Number four, God had purpose in his design. And God has purpose in what he says. God had purpose in his design. And God has purpose in what he says. God always has a purpose. Amen? His purpose was not to offend. Doesn't say it's not going to offend. Doesn't mean, that doesn't mean it's not going to offend. But his purpose was not to offend. And let me say this. It's not my desire to offend anyone in here who might be struggling with this. I don't know that anybody is. Or to offend anyone in here who has friends or loved ones who are struggling with this, which I know that is the case. But I'm also not sorry for standing with God on these issues. God wasn't trying to offend the Israelites who might have been twisted in their thinking. He wasn't. He just wanted to set them straight. And I know in my experience as a child of God, when God sets me straight, sometimes it's not so enjoyable. Anybody ever experienced that? Amen. But the individual who wants to know the Creator God of the Bible, who wants to follow God, let's rephrase that. If you want to know the Creator God of the Bible and you want to follow God and you want to serve God and you want to serve the Creator of your life, then you've got to swallow the pill of truth and allow God to convict you in your life. Mold you. Shape you. Change you. You got to be willing to allow sin to be pointed out clearly and plainly if you want to follow God. Because sin is sin. One thing I'm grateful for when my sin is pointed out is the grace of God that is greater than all of my sin. Do you agree? Where sin abounds, grace doth what? Much more abound. And if the homosexual, the gender confused, or the abortionist will by God's word acknowledge their sin, confess it, forsake it, repent of it, acknowledge their need of a Savior who died on the cross for their sins, call upon Him to be their Savior, because they can't save themselves. God's Word says they'll be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Christians, we've got to be careful there. Salvation is for everyone, no matter their sin. If a person will do what the Bible says they need to do in order to be saved by faith, they can be and will be. The difference between a person who's saved and a person who's not saved is a person who's saved has put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ and called upon Him to be their Savior from their sin. And the person who's not saved has not put their faith and trust in Christ to be the Savior of their sin, taken them to heaven. God has purpose. He has a plan. He blesses His plan. Nothing catches God by surprise. He has purpose. That means that in God's purpose, God's going to accomplish His will. And we talked about that last week. God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. God loves the abortionist. He hates the sin. Yeah, He does. He loves the sinner. For God so loved the world. Amen? But God hates the sin. He loves the sinner. God wasn't trying to offend anyone. God had purpose. And so He spoke the truth. And they needed to hear the truth. And we need to hear the truth. God had purpose. So number five, we need to have purpose. We need to have purpose. As we move along at Northwest Baptist Church, we're going to see, I believe, and we have been seeing it actually, but people who are affected by this more and more. And as a society, more and more, the Bible just says things are going to wax worse and worse. We're going to deal with people who will be struggling and are struggling, and we need to show the love of Christ to them. We need to take them back to Genesis, into the words male and female created he them. Number six, God was not surprised. And we need to get past the surprise. Oh no, I think it's good that we blush at sin. Amen? But God mentioned that it's a shame that there were those who no longer blush at sin. We need to blush at sin. But we've got to get past the surprise and apply purpose to our day and age that we live in today. And as we move along in our lives, we will find that we will come across some very different situations in church life and in dealing with membership, probably more bizarre than what churches have ever dealt with in the past in America. And we're not the first to deal with this. The first century churches that Paul wrote to, Paul said, "And such were some of you." And in that list, he said, when he said "such were some of you," there were those that were effeminate. There were those that were aggressively homosexual. And all types of things were dealt with then. We should not be surprised to deal with it today. But in the way that we deal with it, we've got to be very clear and very bold as to what the Bible says. And we need to be very careful. We need to have the right spirit. I don't want to be sarcastic. I want to say things the way God has me to say it. We ought to just say things the way God says it. We can make jokes and make light of it. And if we're not careful as believers, we can say things and joke around about some things that God takes very seriously. So I ask God to help me say things the right way and deal with it the right way. But it's obvious that the farther we go, we need to be abundantly clear about this. You might say, "Well, I'm a man and I don't plan on changing." Well, good. I want to shake your hand. I hope you shake it firmly. Amen. Somebody might say, "I'm a woman and I'm so glad I'm not a man." That's a good start. I'm going to ask Brother David and Miss Katie if we can do this. If not, I've got another couple on standby to come on up here. You've seen me do this before. I think it was with Brother Shad and Miss Tracy. Well, some of you might remember this. Raise your hand if you think you remember what I'm about to do. Okay, there's like three of you. Do you guys remember this? Oh, wow. Maybe I should have you come up here. No, I'm kidding. All right, Miss Katie, stay there if you would. Brother David, go all the way over here. Miss Katie, back up as far as you can to that keyboard there. All right, over here we have male and we have female. They look different, don't they? They look different. They act different. They walk different. Nobody really, that starts early on, by the way. A man over here, woman over here, totally different. Now, this is not an illustration I came up with. I think Brother Hunter's probably seen this illustration before. A man who influenced my life, I saw this. Actually, my wife and I believe, were the first ones he used in this illustration. He's kind of famous for using this. I'm not going to try to do it his way. That's not the goal. I'm just pulling out a few highlights here. But man talks like a man, walks like a man, thinks like a man, plays sports like a man, right? Woman does it all different, right? Does it all different. Even a woman who's, I don't know if she's good at sports or not, I have no clue. Even a woman who's good at sports as far as women's standards are concerned does it different. There's a difference. And I can't even explain it well, but there's a difference. But it's a wonderful difference. It's a God-created difference. It's a difference we ought to celebrate. It's a difference we ought to own and cherish. It's a difference we ought to teach to our children. And if we don't, then something begins to happen. Brother Wayne Hardy calls this the gender blur. In our society, women saw what men had and decided she wanted some of it, so she takes a step this way. So go ahead, take a step this way. And kind of the same thing happened with man. They kind of maybe got a little more feminine, or maybe they got a little, they didn't want that. The word today is toxic masculinity, and they didn't want that. And we could go through a list of things, I don't have time for it, of historical things that have happened where man and woman begin to start becoming closer. Come on, this way. And even their attitudes, their actions, just keep taking a step forward until you're standing in front of him, all right? Just back to back here, not back to back, but space forward, and you stand behind her. And then we have what's called the gender blur. I mean, I'm talking just the way they dress. We would all say this is a woman's dress, would we not? We would all say that. No, well, society now, and exactly, that's my point. Society is changing, all right? And we get to this point where we call it it's called the gender blur. I mean, how much of seeing unisex now do we have all over the place, and from clothing to restrooms and so many other steps? And before you know it, the ultimate blur is homosexuality, transgenderism, gender confusion, where you can't tell. I say that, but you still can. Even those who do their absolute best to cover up what they really are, you can still tell. But it's confusing. It's twisted thinking. What's happening to America? They're taking further and further steps until there's a complete blur. Now, it wasn't one big leap. Go back to your sides there. It wasn't one big leap. It was just one step at a time. And over the years, society kept doing that. It was a number of steps on both sides, on her part, on his part. I try to be careful with this, about this with my boys. I mean, intentional, as in we play rough. We play football. All right? We get dirty. We get sweaty. We work. I'm not saying that ladies can't do some of these things, but you know, we smell like sweat. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes we'll go to a barbershop. I don't really need to go that much. Sometimes we'll go to a barbershop and I take Levi or Josiah to the barbershop, old-fashioned barbershop, you know what I'm talking about, the old-fashioned ones, the ones that still have the red and white stripe that kind of spins on that little thing, you know. They might just have this different environment, ambiance there. It's not necessarily a clean environment anymore half the time, but some old-timer slaps some stuff on his neck and he's like, what's that warm stuff? And takes a straight razor. The barber's as straight as the razor is. And takes that straight razor and shaves his neck. I love that. That's kind of a man thing. All right. There's a lot of other things we could talk about. But why? Why is that? It's just there's a difference there. I may have you come back up. Go ahead and have a seat. I want you to stand up here the whole time. Natalia may act up. You might have to straighten her out a little bit. There's a quote that a preacher friend told me about. He said, it's increasingly difficult to tell the sex of many things in America today as masculinity and femininity show less and fewer differences. Extremes of other kinds are becoming blurred. This modification of the American way of life could be the most significant change of our time and could be. Now, this was said by a non-Christian. Could be intimately related to our society's ability to survive. He didn't know about Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I think he's exaggerating. No, if you stop and think about it, if this way of thinking becomes the norm, just like a normal way of life, how does society continue? God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and two men can't reproduce. I know it's basic. But we got to get back to the basics in society. So what I'm saying is this, in that last point, God was not surprised. And we've got to get past the surprise and apply purpose to what we have in life today. You might wonder why this topic on a Sunday morning, because it's in the Bible. It's in the book. This is what we're going through on Sunday mornings. This isn't pulled out of a hat randomly, and this isn't, I'm going to preach on this topic today. We're going through Genesis. I don't want to skip things. God is obviously concerned about gender, even if our country is not. Let's say that again. God is concerned about it, even if our country is not concerned about it. Things are taking place in America that have us shocked and amazed there's actually an article called The Blur of Gender. And it's in response to an article by the New York Times in 2008 entitled, Can a Boy Wear a Skirt to School? I'm not going to read it, but the last statement says this. Gender is a creative playing field. They've got that messed up. You don't create gender. You are created in your gender. Male and female created he them. So, that means, oh, by the way, maybe you saw it in our what we read, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male, female, created he them. We're created in his image. It doesn't mean God is feminine. God is referred to with the pronouns he and him, but that does not mean that if you're a female, you are less than man or less than the image of God. That does not mean that. In fact, in the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. That means that my wife, Sandy LaGrosse, is as much in the image of God as I am. And God's intent in this verse is that in order for me to show the image of God in my life, I need to be totally man. And my wife, in order for her to show the image of God in her life, she needs to be totally woman. Otherwise, it's distorting the image of God. Don't reject it. Live in light of it. Encourage it. Say, well, I don't, Pastor, I don't blur. You're talking to mostly home folk here in the church. We don't blur it. I'm not what they're talking about there. Okay, but if we're not careful, we can begin to take some steps this way. And what we allow in our family and what we're okay with, what we wink at, we can allow that. We can take some steps that way or that way, and we're confusing the roles. You know, who's leading the home? Where does the Bible make a distinction? Who carries a workload? Who was created that way? Who is not designed that way? I'm not saying that my wife can't work. She actually works. You know, she makes a little bit of money on the side. And that's not what I'm saying at all. But there's some different things that are identified as gender role responsibilities that I need to own up to as a man and not throw it on her. And she'll carry the load if I don't. She will. And I thank God for her in that way. But you say, well, I'm not confused about that. Okay, great. Adam and Eve were not confused either, but they got, even them, they got confused as to who was the lead in the relationship. No, you go and look at when they sinned. Who led in that? Eve brought it to Adam. And everything wrong with this world started with people listening to someone who they shouldn't have. Adam listened to Eve. Eve listened to Satan. And I'm just saying, God has a plan. Don't change his plan. Some things have changed in America, obviously. Some drastic things have changed. From 1912 to 1994, there was a huge change. We say, oh, well, duh. No, I'm talking about something that happened in 1912 and something that happened in 1994 shows the change that happened in America. So what happened in 1912? In 1912, there were four words that defined the moment of the Titanic that showed a biblical view of gender. That led to hundreds of acts of valor. It led to a man named Dan Marvin to load his beautiful bride on a lifeboat and say goodbye to her. Adolf Dyken said to his wife, I'll see you later. Mr. Douglas said to his wife after she said to him, come with me. He said, I must be a gentleman. We need to get back to that in America. The four words were this: women and children first. Those are the famous words of the Titanic. Women and children first. That illustrates, that's just an illustration of where we were as a culture. In desperate times. World War I, man was excited to go to war. Yeah. On the Titanic, of the roughly 1,500 who died, 1,347 of them were men. 90% of those who died were men. 74% of the women were saved. Now, on September 28th, 1994, A large car and passenger ferry sunk to the bottom of the Baltic Sea named the Estonia. 852 people perished. Stories are told of a woman with two broken legs that no one would help. Most of the survivors were men. One was quoted for saying, "It's survival of the fittest. If women want equality, they've got it." That's where we've come as a society. We went from, in 1912, women and children first, to survival of the fittest. In 1994, we've come a long way since 1994. I believe this shows up in homes. It shows up on Capitol Hill. It shows up in the workplaces. It shows up in the military. And I think in the Christian home, there should be a difference. There should be a huge difference, not just in gender, not just in what I'm talking about in our modesty, but in the way that you live. The way that you lead. We don't have time to go to these verses, but I'd encourage you to write these down and read them. Leviticus 18. Why don't you read that, see what God says about some of this. Deuteronomy. Read some of that. How about Romans chapter 1? Do some homework. We're running out of time. Do some homework. If God puts it in his word, and he did, by the way, he put these things in his word. Amen? So if God puts it in his word, he knew there would be a problem. But also this. If God put it in his word, he knew there would be a solution. And God has a solution. So let me just finish with that thought. May I introduce you to a man named Jesus Christ? He's the solution. He knows, and he speaks the truth, and he speaks it in love. You know why these problems are in the world? Because man is trying to make life work his way. But you know why Jesus came in the world? Because man's way is falling apart. Man's way leads to destruction. Look around you. Things are not getting better in our society. It's not improving. Every politician says, "I'm going to make it better." No, you're not. God makes it better. It's just getting worse. Jesus is the solution for all sin, and he cares about you. Ma'am, he cares about you, sir. He cares about you, teenager. He cares about you, young person. He made you on purpose that way. The way you are. He made you that way. So what should you do? Be distinct. Do things his way. If you're not saved today, accepting his free gift of salvation, knowing he created you with a purpose, he wants to redeem you. Accepting that is a step in the right direction. If you're a Christian today and there's some things where you are just not living up to God's standards, or you've been in conflict, maybe it's not even what we're talking about today. Maybe it's regarding something else in your life where it's just contrary to what you know the Bible says. Take a step in the right direction. Not in the wrong direction. Take a step in the right direction. Be distinct. And honor God that way.